Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
With delirious joy, they've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
knowledge.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley, and of course, the amazing Philip James Unger. Engineering the show as always, a very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this incomprehensibly boring show. Stop! Stop! Good heavens. This is the show that... Oh, I got my wrong glasses on. Pause. There. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us an email about anything. Nothing's off limits. Hence the warning at the beginning of the show. It is a place of safety where you can spill your guts about anything. We, in turn, then are brutally honest. We don't really take into account how you feel. So we're not exactly the most sensitive people on earth, although I'm trying to be nicer. This is my new goal in life, not to be so mean. Actually, don't be mean. I'm not mean to mean a person. I just mean to an attitude, to a thought. But it's connected to people, so I got to be nicer.
Do you know what I've noticed?
What's that?
I've noticed as you've attempted to be nicer during the show, you're meaner outside the show.
I am not. You just have issues, woman. Somebody slap her. Is there anything in the Bible against co-host abuse? What do you got there, sunshine?
Do not get married.
Oh, joy of our souls.
Do not get married unless you ask your partner these 15 questions or else you'll wish you had.
15 questions you need to ask before you get married.
Now, some of these I think you won't get the straight answer to anyway, even if you ask them. But there's things you need to discuss. We come upon this all of the time.
Who is proposing this?
It came off of a website called The Idealist.
Not necessarily a faith-based.
No.
Just... Mm-mm. Oh, boy, here we go.
Number one, whether or not to have children, and who is going to be the primary caregiver, and I would add how many children you think you want to have.
All right.
Yes, I agree with that?
Yeah.
You must discuss that?
I think so.
Number two, do you have a clear idea of each other's financial obligations, in other words, your debt, and goals, and do our ideas about spending and saving mesh?
I don't think you should be buying meth, because it's illegal.
No, she said mesh, like shirts and things like that.
I thought we were talking about Breaking Bad or something. No. Here. All right.
No. Okay.
No, seriously, saving mesh? What does mesh mean?
Do they mesh? Do they come together?
And saving. What are your ideas? Oh, and do our ideas about spending and saving mesh?
You're not saving mesh.
Ideas about saving mesh. What's mesh?
It's not a noun in that sentence.
It's not.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Agree with that? Discuss finances?
Yeah, although I got to admit, that's the problem with people who married later in life. They get all these, you know, do it early and everybody's broke.
We had no ideas.
Right.
Oh, neither did we. In fact, when the preacher gave the traditional vows, you know, and I pledged to thee all my worldly goods or whatever, which the traditional, I don't think we, you know, we even use that part anymore. But when they did that, we both bust out laughing.
You had nothing.
Because we had Jack squat. So you grow up together and stuff. So anyway, assuming people are being goofy like they are today and wait until they're 112 to marry, yeah, I suppose you should work through your financial issues.
Okay.
All right.
Number three, expectations for how the household will be maintained, and are we in agreement on who will manage the chores?
Yes. My expectations is I'll do nothing.
As long as we're both clear on that.
That's
right. She understands that.
All right. There you go. All right.
It's in the fine print.
That's right. Very fine print.
Or have we fully disclosed our health histories, both physical and mental?
Okay.
I think that was quite a surprise to your wife, I bet.
That man's crazy.
Your mental disorders.
All right.
That's fair.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Number five, is my partner affectionate to the degree that I expect?
Well,
that changes.
That's delusional. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does change. Because in the beginning, we talk about it every once in a while. Michelle Wiener Davis. Here's a lady who went out of her way to keep the name Wiener. Anyway, she's a good...
I'm sure she appreciates that.
I don't think she listens to my show. She likes it. She's a nice lady. I know her. So anyway, she is a therapist. She wrote, what was this?
The Sex-Starved Marriage.
And while I don't encourage anybody to buy the book because, well, you can buy the book. Just keep in mind, I don't know that she's about Christian. I don't know if she's ever claimed to be. I don't know what her faith status is. I just know somewhere at the end of the book, she suggests possibly porn to spice up your marriage. And as far as I'm concerned, that sinks the whole deal. If she'd get rid of that, I'd push it harder. Having said that, if you get past that one little paragraph, it's a great book. And she talks about how, why are there so many sexual inconsistencies? Why there's always someone who's way more interested in sex than the other one, generally speaking, in most marriages. And she makes the argument that you can't really tell early on. People say, well, see if you're sexually compatible. So, but she, in the early part of a relationship, she says the person who normally has a lower sex drive, the endorphins and the rush and the emotions of the marriage boost the libido. Mm-hmm. But it's artificially boosted. Mm-hmm. And there's no way of knowing it.
So you get the artificial inflation.
Yeah, so at the beginning, everybody's like, I can't keep their hands off each other. And then once that starts to wear off, which it does eventually, doesn't mean that you don't love each other, just, nobody wakes up every morning just deliriously.
Well, life happens, let's be honest.
Okay. Then the person who's had it artificially boosted tends to settle down. The other person now feels robbed, quite frankly, and they feel very upset. Millions of couples have had this argument, and you eventually work it out. And she has great advice on how to work it out and stuff like that. So, are they affectionate to the degree that I expect? The truth is, I don't think you really get to know that until whenever. And most people, it's not. Someone wants more physical attention than the other one. You need to work it out. It is what it is. Suck it up, buttercup. All right.
Six goes with five.
My new saying. Suck it up, buttercup.
I know where you got that from. Can we comfortably and openly discuss our sexual needs, preferences, and fears?
Where did I get it from?
That would be from me because I say that all the time.
Is that where I hear it from?
Yes.
From the
you get the vast majority of what you say from
me. It actually has an effect on me after a while.
Besides annoying you.
Kind of like fingernails on a chalkboard. Mm-hmm.
Okay, number six goes with five. Can we comfortably and openly discuss our sexual needs, preferences, and fears?
You can discuss it, but it won't be real until life kicks in. The bottom line is
it will spontaneously combust at some point.
That's my fear, is I will just break out into flames at some point. Again, marriage is not about having to have two people with the exact same sexual drives. If it was, we're all kind of in trouble. So you work it out. The person who wants sex a lot more needs to calm down, and the person who doesn't want it so much needs to make an effort. This is life. All right.
Number seven, I like this one. Will there be a television in the bedroom?
There is a television in every room in my house. In this room, I have, three or four TVs. All right. And what's really drag is if you step into the next room, you have to wait like 3 seconds before you see the next TV. Mm-hmm. So there's that pause, that black hole of no TV-ness.
When you're passing through the doorway.
Yeah. So I have a disproportionate amount of flat-screen TVs.
But when you first got married, you had no TV.
We didn't have anything.
Right.
Okay. Will there be a television in the bedroom? The point is, people actually recommend not to have
exactly
a television in the bedroom because couples sit up and they watch late-night TV and they get so tired, they finally go to bed, nobody has time or energy for sex, and you keep this routine going and everybody's waiting for magic to strike. That's why people who don't, people always talk about the Puritans and people, they're being, the only Puritan perspective they had towards sex was they thought nobody else should see it and nobody should be looking at your body. But those guys had very passionate sex lives. I mean, if you had nothing else to do, if all you got is a candle for a light at night, what else are you going to do? I mean, they actually had to pay attention to each other. You could read for a while, but even that would strain your eyes. All they had were candles and lanterns and stuff like that. So anyway, the argument is television gets couples distracted right. from what they should naturally pay attention to, which is each other. All right, so we discussed that.
Do we truly listen to each other, Mark, and fairly consider one another's ideas and complaints, Mark? Have we reached a clear understanding of each other's spiritual beliefs and needs, and have we discussed when and how our children will be exposed to religious and moral education?
That is extremely important.
That's a very important one.
A lot of people crash on that one, okay.
Mm-hmm. Do we like and respect each other's friends?
No!
Well, that can be... You don't even like your own friends.
I don't have any friends.
That can be a point of contention, though. Friends, after you're married, she doesn't like his, he doesn't like hers. It can be.
No, I get that.
11, do we value and respect...
No, wait a minute. Okay, we need to take a break.
Okay.
But how dumb are people? You get married and you can't even stand the other people he or she hangs with?
Well, they always think they won't be with them. They won't hang with them
of
once they get married.
Of course they are. You know, that's what, people get married. They can't stand anything about the other person other than they like the person, but they hate their friends. They hate their mom. They hate their in-laws. They hate everybody. Then they get married, and then they're miserable for the next 500 years. Good grief. If you're dating someone and you can't stand anybody around their world, man, move on. All right, we got a few more to go. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Download your free Mark Gunger app today to see all of the latest from the world of Mark Gunger.
Here to talk to you about our Transition One program during this break. In Green Bay, we have started a new program called Transition One. It's a gap year program for young people coming out of high school, taking off a year to put God first in their lives before they go running off to college. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. Christians are terrible at this. You know, we say we love Jesus, but as parents, we tell them, make sure you get this and make sure you have money. And make sure, you know, and then that's why so many people encourage their kids not to get married and wait. Because what we put first more than anything is the almighty dollar. And it is a mistake. It is a disaster. Having said all that, look, take time and put God first in your young people's life. Encourage them. Take a year off. Good grief. We have a huge failure rate of young people who leave high school and go into college and lose their faith, right? They give up on their faith, get caught in all kinds of stuff, sexual immorality and stuff. Why? Because they've never really had a chance to put their faith into action. All they're doing is living off your parents' faith and you keeping them busy in youth groups and stuff like that. They've never really had to stand on their own. A gap year program. There's many of them around the country, but we've just started our own. And these are popping up because people are realizing we've got a problem here. Slow down a bit. Right out of high school, put God first. Take 1 year of your academic year. Put God first in your life. In our program, we emphasize, while it's biblical, it's not a Bible school, but it's about how to succeed in life, how to make choices, how to serve, what life is really about, putting God first in your life. It's for 6 months, and then the last 3 months, they serve overseas in some safe place, but it's someplace overseas where they get a chance to really see how people in other parts of the world, third world countries and whatnot, live. And you get a chance to serve and sweat and be uncomfortable, and there's not a McDonald's everywhere, and you can't be texting every 5 seconds. This is a good experience for your kids. They come back from this one-year program. Their lives are forever changed. Their priorities are set. Now they can go forward with the rest of their lives. Put God first in your life. Check it out. TransitionOne.org. TransitionOne.org.
There's no denying what I see standing right there in front of me.
The music of Jimmy Bradshaw, the Electric Rev. Check him out at jimmybradshaw.com. You're listening to and or watching the Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Mark Gunger, along with Diane Brierley and Phil Gunger. We're going through a list here on a website here that says 15 important questions you should ask before you get married. We are up to number 11.
Do you value and respect each other's parents? Are either of us concerned about whether the parents will interfere with the relationship?
There again, people aren't asking these basic questions. They don't know if they even like their friends, if they like their in-laws. They're not using their brain. I'll tell you primarily why this is. Because they're all over each other. They're physically, they're making out, they're probably having sex. And that just clouds your brain. And all you know is, wow, this is awesome. This is awesome. Let's get married. And they're not thinking. Then once that wears off, their lives suck. You should check that out before you get married. Okay.
And number 12 goes with that. What does my family do that annoys you?
Mm-hmm. Not in my family. There's very little annoying going along in the Gunger family.
Mm-hmm. Notice how I've taken your advice, Phil. I just don't say anything. Right. Number 13. Are there some things that you and I are not prepared to give up in the marriage?
Like girlfriends.
Hey.
Hey.
It can happen.
I know. Crazy stuff.
Video games, excessive hobbies, smoking, beer can collecting. We've kind of heard a lot.
Especially smoking beer cans. Because that can get really, the aluminum in the air just is awful. Mm-hmm. All right.
14. If one of us were to be offered a career opportunity in a location far from the other's family, are we prepared to move?
That's a great question to have.
It is, because we get those emails.
My advice always, don't drag the girl away from her family. All you guys out there, oh, looking for money, 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 money. You think, oh, this is going to be better for you. I'm telling you, if you drag her away from her family, she's going to stick a straw in your brain and suck your brains out, and you're both going to be miserable. Better the girl stay around her social environment where she's got other outlets and you are not the center of her universe. You drag her away from her family, that's what she's going to do to you. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be calling people like me for counseling.
And I think that's one that gets caught up in the rose-colored glasses. I think that she'll say, oh, yes, I'd follow you anywhere. But when the reality comes, and that's why these guys get mad. Well, she said that she would, but especially if they have kids or something like that.
Well, she will. Yeah. She'll do it. But then she'll take all of her social energy right out of your soul. That's the problem.
Well, and sometimes they won't. They refuse that they don't want to.
They don't want to.
The girls don't want to leave. They're like, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. But you said you would leave. Well, was in the delusional fantasy island.
That's when I still liked you.
Stage of, And the last one,
that depends on their temperament or just their personality.
Mm-hmm. To a large degree, but it's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah,
it's not my wife.
It's not like when you moved away with mom; she
never cared. No, but my wife is the kind of she's not a big social bug anyway, and she certainly never sucked the life out of me.
But even if she is, so my wife—that's what I did the day we got back from our honeymoon.
Moved,
packed up the thing, and moved her across the country.
Yeah,
and she.
But as life has settled
in,
look at your life. She's around her mother and her sisters, and
no, I know. But there was years, the first years when we were there, but. You know, she was social and found other friends. And
she was okay.
So I half agree with you.
She started having her children, though, in the presence of the family.
No, but he's got a point. It depends on the girl. Here's the point. Mm-hmm. My argument is most women, his wife's an exception, most women don't make friends very well. They just don't. They claim they do, but they don't. You know how many women today, right now, are sitting around, they're absolutely lonely with their kids and just lonely. And three doors down is another lady from the same church with her kids, and they're both absolutely lonely.
I love that band, by the way.
What?
Sorry.
Is there a band named that?
Three Doors Down.
Mm-hmm. Is it really? I wouldn't know. I'm totally out of it. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, I'm still trying to figure out who Elvis is. But guys would never do that. If he's home with the kids and he's got a buddy two blocks down with the kids, they're getting together, man. They're partying all day long. They're going to do something together. I'm just saying, by and large, women don't make friends as easily as men do. I don't think there's any question about that. Look, it's not a law. It's advice. My advice, keep the girl by your family. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always work out. Didn't work out for him. Didn't work out for me. Didn't really matter in my situation. And a lot of times you don't have any choice. You work for the army, you're going to go whatever. You work for company, if you have any say at all, my advice is you'll always be happier, my friend. I'm talking to the men. You'll be happier if you keep that woman near her social universe. All right? And it's another thing when it's young and they're not having kids. By the time he started having kids, he was back by his family. I'm telling you, it's a big difference.
And there's another layer that comes into play when you're older, if it's a remarriage situation or something, and you're trying to pull them away from their grown kids and their grandchildren. Because we've gotten emails like that, too, that they don't want to leave the family that they have established.
And why would they?
And they argue
about
that.
It all gets complicated. Life is complicated. What is the last one?
Last one. Does each of us feel fully confident in the other's commitment to the marriage and believe that the bond can survive whatever challenges we may face?
And that's a great question to have as well.
Do you know what's a good marker of that?
What is your view on divorce? what do you think? Seriously, what do you think are grounds for divorce? Listen to what they say. Because when you listen for a while, you might think, this isn't the girl for me.
Well, and I say, look at what they do. I mean, they can say, oh, yeah, I'll be with you, but can they keep a job? Do they cut off other relationships? Have they, you know, not literally, but divorced from their family because they don't like what so-and-so has done or said? Look at those things, because that means that they'll do that to you, too.
Yeah, it's fair game. I'm not saying that people can't change, because I'm a Christian. I believe people absolutely change. Certainly not by their own strength, but through the power of God. But especially you get into remarriage situations, someone's been married before. Ask them, who filed for the divorce?
Why did you leave?
Why'd you leave? What's the history here? You get someone who, well, I filed in the second marriage, and I filed that one, and they're in the third one. You watch them. They'll be the one who will file again. I mean, the handwriting's on the wall. What they're saying, now they'll give you all their reasons why, but the bottom line is when tough things happen, they tend to bail. So, anyway, those are all good things. We're going to come back with your emails right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Blinding light. We are back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Diane Brierley, Phil Gunger, what have you got?
Okay, first email is one that I have to admit I stand corrected on.
Ooh.
In the previous show, I said one thing, and then immediately that afternoon, I read this email, and I even said to you, I stand corrected. I was wrong.
And I wanted to read this because I'm actually willing to back off a little bit, but we'll talk it through. Tell me the email. Here we go.
Okay, she says, greetings, Mark. About a year or so ago, I had emailed regarding the lack of sex I was receiving from my husband. And no matter how blunt I was about doing it, nothing would work, even if I initiated. He had even bought me a toy to use by myself, which I personally felt was wrong. I was relieved to hear on the show that I was not alone. During that show, you gave advice that you said most women wouldn't follow through on. You said to give your husband an ultimatum. Tell him to start having sex with you or figure out what was wrong and get help. Or move in with his parents. In other words, he has to move in with his parents until he figured out what was wrong and worked on it. Nothing about divorce, just separation until things started happening. I am not going to lie. I thought it was a little bit scary, but genius. And when you said that not many women would follow through with that advice, I said, well, I'm going to do it. You, Mark, are a genius. I talked with my husband and told him he had a month to start having more sex with me or go to a doctor and figure out what was happening or not happening and why, or go live with his mother and father until he did the above. He looked at me and said, you wouldn't do that. I said, 1 month, and walked away. Then as each week went by, I became the reminder wife, saying, did you go to the doctor yet? You only have 3 more weeks, and then 2, and then 1, and then counted down the days. All of a sudden, I was getting more sex, and he never had to go back to his parents' house. I am getting sex at least 3 times a week now, which is way better than the maybe once a month, which was driving us apart. I don't think I can be greedy and ask for 3 times a day. Thank you for your advice.
What are you gonna ask?
And I hope that other ladies who face the issue of lack of sex in their marriage can get the courage and take your advice.
And that's okay. Okay, so my argument always is women tolerate bad situations in their lives and they won't confront it. So the debate we had last time was, on the last show, was some guy who had a back injury or something and couldn't perform quite. And I said, well, he can still touch her. He can still do something. That's all she was asking. He refused to do it. And I used the same kind of advice. And you thought that was unfair and unreasonable. And upon further reflection, when it is, in fact, a health-related thing, that's probably asking too much. I remember talking to a soldier who'd been wounded and was unable to perform sexually. And I asked him, can't you do something? He says, dude, you have no idea. You just can't do anything. You just can't, because everything is just a reminder that you're a failure and you're not a man and you can't respond like a man used to. So in that case, I mean, if they're true. Now, in her case, I said, go to a doctor, see if there's a problem. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she did force the issue. Mm-hmm. But when you do know
that there's a medical issue
and he doesn't want
problem.
To touch you, like in the last email, in that case, I think,
To quote
a brilliant woman I know, suck it up, buttercup. Just to demand your husband touch you when he cannot perform, that's probably unreasonable. So, well, what do I do? Sometimes life sucks, but it's not the end of the world. No one's ever died from lack of sex. There's a lot of people, their spouse gets sick, they can't have sex. It's the reality of it. And the last lady says, well, I'm starting to notice men. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the world of men. Man can have sex 3 times a day and still notice other women. I mean, that's the man's world. You're always aware, constantly. For a woman to get to the point where she starts noticing men, she thinks it's horrible. Man, welcome to our world. You'll be fine. Just because you feel stuff doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because you notice some cute, gorgeous men like myself it is what it is. But, having said all that, I was validated that this works when they will confront them and say, you need to do something. In this case, he didn't feel like having sex. I said, kick him out if he didn't do it. I said, same with a man with a woman who wanted to do that. You confront it. You make it change. Now, if you find out there's a physical problem, okay. But a lot of times, isn't it interesting? All of a sudden, he can have all the sex that he needs. People just need to be shaken up sometimes, okay? We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution. The Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
every day I fall in love again. We're back on the Mark Unger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your emails. We went out of the last segment saying, look, if your spouse is really sick and they can't perform, it is what it is. You know, you'll be fine. No one's ever died from lack of sex. Then my son pointed out that apparently...
Yeah, so I thought, well, how many people actually die because of sex? And it apparently accounts for 0.6% of all sudden deaths.
Oh, my gosh. And now, how scarred are you as an individual when you're having sex with somebody and all of a sudden they croak? I mean, what's that do to your head? Wow.
So we've heard of mind-blowing sex. The president of France, Felix... I don't know French. President of
Felix
France from 1895 to 1899 died while receiving fellatio from his mistress. The cause of sudden death was listed as a cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh! Oh!
I'm not saying nothing.
So you won't die not having sex. You could die having sex. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is, you know. Health. That's why in sickness and in health. The problem I have is when someone is acting really badly and there's no excuse for it. You confront it. I don't care whatever the list is. Even if it includes sex, I think you confront it straight up. And to the point where you say, well, you know, if you're not going to be a husband to me, you're not going to be a wife to me, you know, move out. Or I'll move out. I mean, that's the way I would confront it. Now, if there's a physical problem, that's different, you know. They're sick, puking their guts out.
Or a mental health issue or something like that.
And that's sick again as well.
I mean, that's sickness.
Yeah. You say, well, then what do I do? You'll be fine. Well, I'll suffer. Welcome to life.
Well, and on that other hand, is not your spouse suffering if they are sick, if they are ill, if they are mentally ill, whatever? It's like, you're not the only one suffering, Buttercup.
My wife has suffered for years from my mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is what it is. So, yeah, they're both suffering, but people get selfish and they think, well, if I can't get laid, then I get to walk from my marriage. A lot of people think like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, this sickness.
Especially men. That's what the studies are showing. I was reading them last night. More men desert their wives and divorce them when they're ill than women don't do it, but men do.
It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Mm-hmm. You know. My poor wife, you're just taking chemo, you know. And all of a sudden she just, blah, for no reason, you know. So nothing really says you're the man than when you're kissing your wife's neck and she starts to go, blah! Apparently I make her hurl. No, I assume it's the chemo. I certainly hope
assume all you want. Assume away,
said,
my friend.
I'm so sorry. I said, no, I get it. You got all that chemo in you. You know, it's just funny. We laugh about it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Email says, the Bible says homosexuality is a no-no. My question is, what makes homosexuality? Is it the man-man, or is it the act that makes it sinful? There are men and boys in and out of marriage having what she terms as backdoor sex with girls and women off of their own twisted reasons and beliefs, which mm-hmm. I don't even want to get into the ew factor, she says. Mm-hmm. Does this unsavory way of using a body part not meant for sex not constitute some sort of homosexuality? If yes, should the church or Christians not be made aware of this? There is a generation out there saving their virginity by allowing this to keep a boyfriend, and there are men out there thinking that because it's being done with a woman, it's not homosexual. What do you think?
Well, it's a hot button issue. Number one, the problem is with the act. Someone says, well, I have people come to my church who tell me they're gay, but they're not involved in homosexuality. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Look, why does everybody pick on the gay? It can be anything. It can be adultery. It can be, you know, wanting to fornicate with your girlfriend. What if it's, gee, I want to have sex with little boys? I mean, what, you know, at some point, no matter what you're feeling, you can control yourself. This idea that because you feel you have to do it is patently absurd. If that's the case, then all hell breaks, and which is what happened in Western culture. People can't help but commit adultery. People can't help but fornicate. People can't help but have sex with little boys. People can't help but have sex with people of the same sex. And that's what I just reject across the board. I think it's absurd. You can control yourself. If you feel you're attracted to someone of the same sex, okay, fine. But you don't do it. You feel like you're really attracted to that lady next door that's married to somebody else, okay, fine. You just can't do it. It's what we do. It's not what we feel. Everybody's broken everything down to feelings, and feelings define us. Then she brings up the question about you know, what about a lot of these acts? Aren't they, in essence, homosexual acts? You know, that's kind of been my argument. I've always kidded around saying these guys are half gay, which some people get mad at me, but it's not a slam on gays. I'm slamming the heterosexual, you know, not whether or not, you know, it's just, I'm just being funny. The reality is, it does cause one to question, what are these people doing? A lot of what you see in porn and stuff, even between men and women, is in essence homosexual sex. Anal sex and oral sex, and not that all, you know, the oral sex is bad, and, you know, per se, a lot of couples can do that as part of foreplay and stuff like that. But when it becomes the end game, that's all they're interested in, and all these weird things, they are in essence performing. You could be doing that with anybody. When you're no longer interested in your wife's vagina, but are interested in everything else, I think you have a problem. And it wouldn't surprise me. I, you know, can they get mad? I think you're half gay, but. You know, I think there's an issue in play. I really do. I had a lady come into my office said, my husband hasn't touched my vagina in over a year. Wants me to shove things up his butt. Well, how's that not gay? He thinks he's not gay because his wife is doing it. But I don't know. And listen, for those who don't like my approach, talk to gay guys, gay people. They argue that there are way more people who are gay than admit they're gay. They're the ones who say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these when they do these surveys, they say, well, only, you know, 4% of people are actually gay. And the homosexual community laughs. There's way more people than that are gay. And there's tons more people who are gay who won't admit they're gay. I'm disagreeing with them. I am. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to drive down gays. They're people are who they are. I'm saying if you're more interested in your wife's other parts than her vagina, you got issues, dude. That's all I'm saying. So I agree with her. All right, what else you got? Before we spiral into...
I have heard your shows in the past and know that
Did you want to comment?
Nope.
Oh. I did, nope. But I'm not going to open
it. I don't want to say nothing. I saw him looking, so I didn't know. Okay, go ahead.
No. I was trying to be engaged. Uh-huh. I got my engaged look.
He's forcing himself to pay attention to Diane.
That's engaged.
It's a struggle. All right, go ahead.
Okay, I'm sorry, I have to go back. I was going to let it go, and I just have to go back.
Okay.
You're saying that people say that there's more than just 4% gay, that there's way more gay people.
Yeah.
I just want you to clarify this, because I can hear that out
there.
Go ahead,
go ahead.
So people say that there's more... He's taking pictures over there. More people are gay... They're going to say they're born gay because they feel this. Okay, I just need you to clarify that.
I don't know. I don't know anything about gay. I barely understand heterosexuals.
Okay, that's all.
I'm just, you know, everybody argues about debates. Well, they're born that way. Who cares? I don't care. It doesn't matter whether they're born that way or they choose to be that way. Why do we have these discussions? Someone says they feel.
That was what I wanted to clarify.
Now, whether they are pre-wired to feel that way or they choose to feel that way, who the heck cares? All I'm saying is, yes, they feel this way.
They were created in a lab.
In a lab?
They were in a lab.
And the experiment got out.
They were a test tube baby. I don't know. They feel the way they feel. You can, again, why always am I always picking on homosexuals? Take another part of the Bible that people, that's wrong. Adultery.
Yeah.
I feel like banging the next door neighbor's wife. All right?
Oh,
so I know it's not very pretty.
I just
but,
don't like
well,
that.
Well, I don't.
Word.
I like using words that make things sound disgusting that are disgusting. All right?
Okay.
So I feel like making love.
No. No.
See, that's the problem. Oh, it's making love. No, you're being a pig. So if I want to have sex with the next door neighbor's wife,
there, that
I can say, okay, God made me this way.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I mean, really? I don't think... Well, I'm born this way. Oh, look, I don't know if you were born that way. All I know is you're not supposed to do it. Well, I feel it. I don't care what you feel.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And my argument is a lot of what these guys are doing today, because they look at porn, what it pushes them more is away from true heterosexual sex into something that's more like homosexual sex. And that's what she's saying. Isn't that alarming? I think it's alarming. Mm-hmm. That's why I speak about it, and I... try and mock it to whatever, but I don't hate anybody. Good grief. Why do people get in these arguments about what it is what they're trying to say? I can't help what I do.
Right.
That I reject wholeheartedly. I don't care what you feel. What about people who feel like they want to look at porn? There's a lot of men who feel like they want to, they can't help it. Well, I can't help it. I got these feelings to look at porn. Therefore, God made me this way. Therefore, I must fulfill God's will by looking at porn. No. Our feelings are our feelings. Our actions are our actions. The one does not force us to do the other. That's what I say, and that's where they would have a problem. Mm-hmm. They're saying, I can't help but have sex with someone of the same sex because that's the way I'm made. Others would say, I can't help but commit adultery because that's the way that I'm made. Another would say, I can't help but have sex with small children because that's the way that I'm made. I can't help. And I'm just saying, look, I don't know what you feel, but you can help what you do, straight up. And we have to be responsible for our actions. So now, if you're not a devout Christian and you want to commit adultery, knock yourself out. If you're not a devout Christian, you want to be have homosexual, knock yourself out. If you're not a gay, a devout Christian, you want to have sex with every girl that you can see. And some idiot sent us a DVD the other day.
Oh, Lord.
He sent a whole DVD, Phil, about how good he is at having sex with other women and how good of a fornicator he is. Wonder if he wanted to partner with me.
Because he knew the secret about how to
to bring women to orgasm, and because he's a very experienced fornicator, and he's a Christian. Christian? What kind of version of Christian is this? But I'm sure God made him this way. You know, look, the problem with that, you know, I can't help being an axe murderer because God made me this way. I can't help it
for Jesus.
Drive too fast because God made me this way. I can't help it pick my nose in public because God made it. You know, everybody has this thing. I can't help what I do because of what I feel. I reject that wholeheartedly. Anybody, whether or not you're gay or you're an adulterer or you're childless or you're just a nose picker in public or whatever it is that you do, and you tell me you cannot help but do what you do because the way you feel, I reject that. I think we can control ourselves. In fact, certainly as Christians we can, because one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-control. What does self-control mean? Well, let me explain it to you. It means controlling yourself. All right? I don't want to deal anymore with it. Get drugged down this rat hole. We're going to take a break and come back and change the subject. Praise God, right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
See, I'm tired. I've been carrying a heavy load.
You're listening to The Mark Gunger Show and are watching it, talking about love, marriage, and relationships, answering your email.
It's not funny.
Giving a hard, Diane a hard time, says, my resume is going out in the mail today. The problem is, who would hire her if your resume says, I work for Mark Gunger? You're doomed. No one will want you. You've been poisoned.
Get flagged.
You're flagged right away. Okay.
I bet.
Go ahead.
24-year-old girl writing. She says, I've heard your shows in the past and know that you think no child should get in the way of parents' problems. However, I recently discovered that you think children shouldn't get involved and interfere in the problems of parents, or parents shouldn't drag them into their issues or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. They shouldn't drag them into it. Yeah.
However, I recently discovered my dad's having an affair and I feel really lost. I don't know if I should confront him, tell my mom, or just do nothing. But
how does the first have to do with this?
How?
You shouldn't drag your kids. What she's saying, what she meant to say is what I don't think a child should get involved in their parents' problems.
Yes.
That's a different way of saying it. I thought you were talking about parents dragging their children into stuff.
To get in the way of the parents' problems.
I get it.
I'm
okay.
Sorry if I
couldn't
misspoke
understand.
That.
No.
Didn't know if I should confront him, tell my mom, do nothing. But then again, how can I trust him after all this? So I would really appreciate your opinion on the matter.
You know, you got to be as respectful as you can. But I would certainly talk to your parents about it. Dad, what are you doing? That's fair game. You can confront. Respect doesn't mean you can't challenge somebody. People think that, you know, respect means I have to let somebody do whatever. That's why women stumble. The Bible says you have to respect your husband. Well, that's because I don't agree with everything he says. No one says you have to agree with everything he says. You can still be respectful. By and large, Diane is respectful to me. By and large. More large than by. All right? But she doesn't agree with everything I say. But there's a difference between being disrespectful and being respectful when you challenge somebody. My wife's respectful by and large. She has her days. Can't imagine why.
Well, then there's always the question of what is intended as being disrespectful and what is perceived as being disrespectful.
I'm going to pick on women here, but you women tend to struggle with all these nuances. I don't think it's really that complicated. You can tell when you're being disrespectful to someone, and someone can tell when they're being disrespected. I think by and large, it's not all this big mystery. You can be respectful to your father when you say, Dad, why are you cheating on mom? That's a fair talk. Mm-hmm. And I talked to mom and everything else, so there's nothing wrong with that. Now, can you get in there and fix dad if dad decides he wants to be an adulterer? And he might say, God made him that way. To bring it back up the last subject. I mean, I don't know. It's just he can control himself. If he chooses to be an adulterer, what are you going to do? It'll probably end his marriage, and mom and dad will be separated. And at some point, he'll always be your dad, and you'll still always have to be respectful toward him. But it doesn't mean you have to agree with him.
Or should she tell the mother?
Oh, man, I probably would, wouldn't you? I'd talk to him first and say, are you going to tell mom? Well, no. He says, if you don't tell her, I'm going to tell her. Well, you better, you know, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. I would tell, absolutely.
I would.
All the secrecy stuff. The whole secrecy thing, I think, is very poisonous by nature. Things very bad comes out of all that. If you don't want your wife to know you're committing an affair, how about you don't just don't have an affair? I would. I'd spill the beans on him. That's me. That's my advice. And you can even do that respectfully. Mm-hmm. You can. Respect doesn't mean you have to agree with everything or give everybody what they want. Fundamental misunderstanding. All right?
All in favor, say aye.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Should we take a break?
Should we take a break? Let's take a break, and we'll be back with another segment right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
Jimmy Bratcher. Can't shake it. Mark Gunger along with Diane and Phil answering your emails. What do you got?
She says, I was wondering what I should be on the lookout for with dating someone who has been divorced. I know that second marriages are twice as likely to fail as first ones. I don't want to become a statistic. Is there any advice you can give me? Is this just a bad idea in the first place? Should Christians even have a second chance at marriage? There's a lot of advice from the secular world about this topic, but I would like to hear what God would say and what you think.
Well, don't confuse what I say with what God says. Though I look very God-like, I can imagine how someone would get that confused. My best advice is try and find someone who hasn't been divorced. How old are they?
Didn't ask.
You know, that's a factor. Now, you get older in age, that's all you get. If you're a young person and you have an opportunity for a be with a divorced person, my advice, find one who hasn't been divorced. That doesn't mean that people who are divorced, their life's over with. I'm just saying, my best advice, that you wouldn't do it. You would try and find someone who has no baggage. Kind of questions you ask, do you have children? How old are your children? If they're very young children, I can concede that. If they've got 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, don't marry them. Man, just wait till those kids get out of the house. Nothing's going to create more misery in your life than walking into a life of a teenager as the new mom. That's bad. Find out why the first marriage is ended. Who divorced whom? You know. If she divorced him, okay, then he didn't file divorce. But why did she divorce him? It wouldn't hurt you to talk to the spouse. I mean, seriously, you don't know what you're signing up for, people. That's why my best advice: find one who hasn't been divorced. If you're older, again, it's harder to find. Best shot there to find someone who's been widowed, and that's hard to find. So it's not that it's over with and can't be done, but yeah, you're talking a group of people that have a very high divorce rate. It's very difficult for them. All right, what else you got?
Also has a lot to do if they were divorced as a Christian or not.
That's true. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's a real important thing. A lot of people do all kinds of stuff before they come to Jesus. If you're a devout Christian and you have someone down their history, but even then, still fair game to ask. Mm-hmm. The children thing is a big deal. You know, but people have done all kinds of really bad stuff. Oh, my God.
I think it's a much bigger red flag if they claim to be a professing
devout
Christian.
Devout, we both really love Jesus
divorced.
And we got divorced. Oh, my goodness.
Way bigger of a red flag.
I would definitely run from that one. You say, oh, well, we were Christians. You mean I can't get divorced and married again? You can do whatever you want. Just, I wouldn't marry you. That's all I got to say. All right. What do you got?
Okay. 24-year-old female dating a man I believe I will marry. I have been saved for 6 years now.
I've
been saved for 6 years now. My mother is always accusing me of neglecting my spirituality when I'm in a relationship, despite the fact that she's reading more Bible and everything now. Her mother's putting some constraints on her and always sticking around, saying that the daughter can't spend more than one day at a time in the company of this dude.
Okay.
Because she's concerned. She doesn't feel like she has any independence. She wants to know how she handles this while still pleasing God and honoring her mother. She thinks she can make her own decisions. She does still live at home. She says they're not sexually involved. They have established firm boundaries, dating 2 months, known each other for almost a year. And her mother is putting too many restrictions, and she wants to know how to handle it.
What are you doing? You're a 24-year-old woman living at home? Get on with your life. Where is she from?
I didn't ask. .za, that's South Africa.
Oh, South Africa. That's why. And a lot of economic pressures on why they're still living with mom. You know, I don't know. Look, people, I think children are supposed to obey their parents, but that's children. Little children. When you're 24, you don't have to obey your parents anymore. You need to be respectful to your parents, and clearly, you got to live with them and live off of their graces, so you got to be as accommodating as you can. But at some point, if you're a single available woman and he's a single available man, you're both of the same faith and want to love God and get married and get on with it. Don't be like all your other contemporaries in South Africa that wait till they're 35 before they get married. For heaven's sakes, get on with your life, you people. Goodness. Say, well, we don't have any money. We'll be broke together.
Is her mother trying to keep them from falling into sexual sin by
maybe
putting those kind of parameters?
No, well, because one thing's for sure. One thing, your mom is right. If you spend enough time alone with somebody, at some point, somebody's going to want to get naked. And that's true. You spend enough time with someone of the opposite sex, somebody's going to want to get naked. I get that. But right now, you're just dating and stuff. And you, it says more than a day at a time. Who spends a whole day at a time with somebody? I don't know. Your mom's probably got some wisdom and stuff. You know, be smart about it. What you want to do is, you're dating for a few months, make a decision. I wouldn't go more than a year. If that boy does not ask you to marry him within a year, you dump him and move on. Don't be wasting your life on all this nonsense. All right, we'll see you later.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.